It's always fun when you speak prophecy without knowing it. We're talking about new beginnings and the computer crashes and we have to reboot. And so the whole thing is back up with a new beginning. Sorry for that dreaded blue screen of death there. The last couple of weeks we've looked at the time when the people of Israel were returning home. Babylon had come and taken them captive. They lived in exile for some time. Persia took over Babylon, and Persia allowed the Israelites to begin returning home. And we've been looking at different texts about that home going, that returning to rebuild their city. That was the goal and the purpose of their going back. They wanted to rebuild the wall, rebuild their place, their city. And I want us to look at it again this morning from a different perspective. If you have your copy of Scripture with you, look with me in Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 61. And we're going to begin at verse 1. Isaiah is just a little bit to the right of middle in your Bible. If you get to Jeremiah, you went too far. Isaiah 61, we're going to begin at verse 1. I want us to think about beauty for ashes. Some of you remember we looked at this text back in October. But as I thought it through, it took on a whole new meaning all of a sudden. And so I want us to return to the text. We have a different perspective on it this morning. But the same text we looked at earlier. Last time we looked at it, it was kind of a thought about personal revival. God can give me a new beginning. But look at what he really says. He can give beauty for ashes. He can restore joy. He can restore that which is beautiful from the destruction, from the ashes. And I want us to think about that this morning as we look at it carefully. Isaiah 61, beginning at verse 1, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor." And the first thing I want us to think about this morning is the glorious proclamation. There is a glorious proclamation here. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor." He said, "Man, I'm excited." That's what mine says. "Man, I'm excited about the chance to tell somebody some good news." How many of you about ready for some good news? Here he says, "I can't wait to tell you because I've got some good news that I want to share." He says, "I get to proclaim good news to the poor. God has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners." Isaiah is saying to his people, "Folks, we're going to be okay. God has sent me to say to you," this is Isaiah speaking to the Israelites, "God has sent me to say to you that we are going to be okay. He is going to bless us, and we're going to make it." He says, "I've got good news. We're going to preach good news to the poor. We're going to bind up the brokenhearted. We're going to set the captives free. We're going to release from darkness for prisoners." And he says, "To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn." He says there's good news. Now, Isaiah was speaking to the people of Israel that long ago, and yet I have a real sense that we can apply what he said to them, we can apply that to us today, because the God who sent good news to them is the very same God who has been actively involved in our lives and in our restoration. He's been actively involved in our protection. He's been loving us and watching over us. He's been walking through this thing with us step by step, every step along the way. And so when he told the people of Israel, I've got good news. I'm going to comfort those who are mourning. I'm going to set free those who are captive in darkness. I'm going to do a work in the hearts of people who are hurting. He says the same thing to us today. Folks, this is one of the hardest things, probably the hardest thing, that we will have to face in our lifetime outside of the personal loss of a close loved one, and many of us have experienced that as well. This is probably the most difficult thing we'll face. And I want you to know that God is big enough to get us through even this. He is bigger than all of this. God is good, and West is blessed. He's continuing to work every day in a variety of ways. And you start talking to your friends and neighbors, and you're going to find out that God was at work the moment of the explosion. And we find out as we think it through that actually he was at work before the explosion. He was actively involved in our lives and protecting and guiding and caring every step along the way. That's good news. That is a glorious proclamation that God is caring for his people. And then I want you to see the glorious provision. Not only is there a glorious proclamation, but we read next the glorious provision. In verse 3, he says, and provide. See, there's a provision. And provide for those who grieve in Zion, and bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. He says, here's what I'm going to provide for you. Comfort for those who grieve. We've lost a great deal. Many of us lost people very close to us. Many of us lost homes and property. All of us lost our sense of security. We've all lost a whole lot. But understand that in our grief, he can bring joy. In the midst of our sorrow, he can bring peace. And that only happens with him. He says, I'll provide for those who grieve in Zion to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes. In that day when people mourned, one of the ways that they showed their mourning was to take ashes and put them on their head. It was a little more dramatic, a little more ceremonial. Well, that's basically it. You put ashes on your head, and that's how you showed your mourning. They would kind of throw it and let it fall on them, and it was a sign of darkness covering them so that we would understand the mourning. And God says, I'm going to comfort those who are in mourning, those who are grieving, so that instead of ashes on their head, they're going to get that laurel wreath of a victor. Beauty will crown their heads instead of ashes. You see, God has a way of turning sorrow into joy, of turning endings into beginnings. He has a way of turning our mourning into something beautiful. Provide for those who grieve in Zion to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. Make sure that you notice why he does these things. Did you see that in this glorious provision? As he provides for our needs, he brings comfort in our sorrow, he restores us. He brings beauty for ashes. But why? Did you see that at the end of the verse 3? He said, I'm going to establish you like strong trees. And he says, for the display of his splendor. Understand that all of this, all that he does for us, is to bring him glory. Because as he works, we can point people in his direction. And when people are pointed in his direction, they can see that he can take care of them as well. And so he glorifies himself in his work so that people will pay attention to the one who can help the most. We decided early on that we were going to find ways from the beginning, that we were going to find ways to make sure that God received glory through this whole thing. And so we said on that first Sunday, we're going to worship. Don't know where, don't know how, but we're going to worship. And there were two reasons. One, because we're family, and family needs each other more at times like this than ever before. And two, because God is worthy of our worship regardless of the circumstances around us. And we were going to worship, and we did. And from the beginning, we have decided we're going to make sure that we find ways to bring God glory. And so we've used the catchphrases. It's more than slogans. It's a way to help people remember the truth and the reality that God is bigger than all of this. That God is good and West is blessed. It's our goal to glorify Him. He's worthy of it, and the more we glorify Him, the more people understand who He is, and He is then able to help them as they run to Him. You see, there's a glorious proclamation. He says, I got good news. And there's a glorious provision as He says, I'm going to take your ashes and turn it into something beautiful for my glory. And then there is the glorious promise. As we continue, we see the glorious promise in verse 4. He says, they will rebuild. You see that? Those of you who mark in your Bibles, I'd underline that. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. The glorious promise, they will rebuild. They will renew their cities. And I want you to know that by His grace and for His glory, we will not only survive, but we will thrive again. We will rebuild. We will establish ourselves once again. And He is at work making that happen even today. I shared with you a week or two ago how meaningful it was to me to come around the corner on that first day of school and see the kids on the playground. And it was a promise that there would be a tomorrow. And then we had opening day for baseball and softball and t-ball. And that was almost like saying, okay, tomorrow has arrived. And now we're beginning to see the flags flying all the way at the top of the mast. These are good things. These are our rainbows. These are our signs. There is a promise. We have a new beginning. It's a glorious promise. We will rebuild by His grace and for His glory. And then I want you to notice the glorious fulfillment. Because this text, Isaiah is speaking to the people of God, and he says, we're going to get back home. God's going to take care of us. It's all going to happen. That's got good news for those who are poor, for those who are hurting, for those who are mourning. It's good stuff. God's going to take care of us. He's going to take our ashes and turn it into something beautiful. He's going to help us rebuild and restore. That's great news. And what we find out in the New Testament in Luke chapter 4, beginning at verse 16, in Luke chapter 4, beginning at 16, Jesus goes home to Nazareth. Let me just read it for you. Luke chapter 4. I'm going to read it to you at 16. He came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. As was his custom, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath. He stood up to read. And the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. He opened the book and found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are downtrodden, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord." Does that sound familiar? That's what we just looked at. Jesus went to church that day. He said, "Hand me a Bible." They handed him a Bible. The Bible they handed him happened to be the book of Isaiah. He opened it up and he read that very text that we just looked at. And then, verse 20, he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant. He sat down, and the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed upon him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." He said, "That text is about me." In one way, Isaiah was speaking to his people of his time, God is going to get us back home and restore us. But in another way, Isaiah was pointing people to Jesus. And now Jesus shows up at church one day, and he says, "You remember what Isaiah said back yonder to those people over there? He was really talking about me, and it is fulfilled now in your hearing because I'm here." Jesus is the fulfillment of the glorious proclamation, the glorious provision, the glorious promise. He is the embodiment of it. Now I ask you, can he really change a life that drastically? Can Jesus really take ashes and turn that into beauty? Can he really bring comfort to the mourning? Can he change a life so dramatically? Can he take shackles and bring freedom? Can he take sorrow and bring joy? Let's think about it for a minute. Ask the woman at the well, if you will. She went from man to man and never found what she needed until she met Jesus. Ask blind Bartimaeus, if you will. He cried out for mercy, and Jesus opened his eyes. Ask the lonely leper, if you will. He had stayed away from people until Jesus touched him and made him healthy and whole. Ask the lame man, if you will. His friend brought him to Jesus, but he walked away on his own two feet. Ask Lazarus, if you will. He died and stayed in the ground for days until Jesus called him back to life. Ask the centurion, if you will, a brutal, hard-hearted soldier who stood at the cross and said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." Ask Peter, if you will. He denied he even knew Jesus, but then he became the greatest preacher in all of church history. Ask Paul and Silas, if you will, chained up in prison, started praising God and the shackles opened and the chains fell off. Ask me, if you will. I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. I was broken, and now I'm whole. I was confused, and now I know the truth. I was discouraged, and now I have hope. I was hurting, and now I have peace. I'll tell you how he changed my heart, if you listen. I'll tell you how he changed my mind. I can tell you how he changed my life. He can do the same thing for you if you let him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, at verse 17, it says, "Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Somebody's ready for a rainbow. Somebody's ready for a new beginning. I want to tell you, I know the one who can take ashes and bring something beautiful. I know the one who can take confusion and bring truth. I know the one who can take mourning and bring joy. There is one who can change your life if you let him. Beauty for ashes. He can take a messy, mixed up life and turn it into something beautiful, meaningful, and purposeful. He is going to help us rebuild this city. He is going to restore this town. He's going to bring beauty for ashes, strength for fear, gladness for mourning, peace for despair.
He gives beauty for ashes.
Fulfillment of the promise doesn't happen overnight. You don't walk an aisle and pray a prayer and then all of a sudden everything is new and bright and joyful and happy. But what he does promise is you can begin that journey. You see, it takes time as Jesus works in our hearts and minds and he rebuilds our life. He takes time doing that so it doesn't shock us and out of our reality. But he can't do any of it until you let him get started. This is a time for new beginnings. For our town, for our church, for our families, and probably for you. It's a time for new beginnings. Now, is your new beginning going to include him? I want to invite you, if you've never trusted Jesus personally, you've never allowed him to come into your life to forgive you of sin and give you a new start, this is the day to start over. This is the day. Here's your rainbow. This is your time. New beginnings are available in him right now. Would you come and give your life to Jesus? Phil's going to be here and I'll be here. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation. If you're ready to accept Christ into your life, to trust him enough to forgive you of your sin and give you a new start, you come and let us pray with you. Maybe somebody else would say this morning, I've got all that settled. I know I'm saved. I know I'm a Christian. I have a relationship with Jesus already. But I also know that I got complacent or I got stubborn or I got busy and I've left Jesus out of my life. I put God on the back burner somewhere. I just need to come back home. I need to begin again with him in charge. You come. Let us know what's happening so we can pray with you. Maybe someone else would say, I'm already a Christian. I feel like I'm right with God right now, but I feel like He wants me to join the church. He wants me to go into missions or ministry. If God lays on your heart a public decision that you need to make, come and let us pray with you about it. The altar's also open, which means you're welcome to come and just pray privately. You can just kneel at the altar if you feel led to do that. Nobody will bother you, say a word to you. You can just come and pray if you feel led. But I want to encourage you to use these next couple of minutes to do whatever it is God leads you to do. Just could be that He's got a new beginning for you right now.